I am Plata on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Because of COVID-19, the Tribeca Film Festival, one of the premier movie showcases in the world, has moved to an online program. Industry types will still view films that were to be in competition between today and the 26th of April. One of the select Canadian films in the festival is On Falling. It is an official selection at Tribeca, having its world premiere, as it were, and will be considered for the Short Documentary Award competition. Joining me now is Josephine Anderson. She is the director of the short film, which is about three female professional mountain bikers. They reflect on why they cycle and provide insight into the mindset and the physicality of it all. There is a lot of physical injury, including broken bones and concussions, as well as an emotional toll. The film is produced by Joella Caballu, and its cinematographer is Claire Sanford. The three athletes in the film are Adrienne Lanthier-Nadeau, Miranda Miller, and Brittany Phelan. The film was produced with support from TELUS as well. Josephine Anderson is a filmmaker whose work has screened at festivals internationally and online and on television here in Canada. Her interactive documentary, The Sticking Place, was a Webby Award honoree and won two Pixel Awards. She is an alumna of Berlinale Talent Campus and the Canadian Film Centre. She's a graduate of the University of British Columbia and Capilano University's Documentary Production Program. Visit josephineanderson.ca for more information. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Josephine Anderson. Ms. Anderson, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tribeca is a film festival that we've all heard of. It's a big deal in the movie business, but because of COVID-19, I guess it's canceled. But this film is still in competition. They're still having the festival, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I guess when COVID-19 started to spread into North America, it became pretty clear that some of the bigger festivals were going to be shutting down. Obviously, now we're in full out shutdown mode. But when South by Southwest shut down, it became clear that Tribeca was likely next, and of course, that's what happened. And the festival's done like a really amazing job of pivoting from that first kind of major, shock of not being able to run, and they've decided to do an online screening of the film for industry and press, as well as to continue running the juried competition for all of the films in the festival and competition.
Well, we shouldn't understate just how important festivals are, because, I mean, it's not just sort of these glamorous affairs where people walk down red carpets and the sort. If you show a movie at a festival, I mean, the reason is that it gets, the buzz for wider release. It also, companies buy these films, don't they?
Yeah, that's right, exactly. So you're looking for distribution, you're looking for potential broadcast opportunities, and you're also looking for, connections to support your ongoing and future projects. So Tribeca is definitely a mecca for those types of business opportunities, as well as obviously the joy of getting to share a film that you've made at such a an incredible event. So it's kind of a double whammy in terms of the loss of not being able to attend.
Right. So you're making a movie, as you are, and we'll talk about the team in just a sec. But, I mean, it's not something that you think about, is it? I mean, you're going to direct a film that's going to make the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah, I guess you're hoping that the film will have, will be well-received.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah. So I mentioned the team. It is. I hope there'll be a day where we won't be unique. But you're the director. Your producer is female. Your cinematographer is female. I guess that's. Was that important for all of you to make a film that had women in these three roles?
It wasn't a hard rule or anything like that. Both Joella, my producer, as well as Claire, the cinematographer, are two filmmakers that I trust deeply and have worked with before, so we had a good working relationship. But it was intentional as well. The film features three female mountain bikers, and we never really focus on that in terms of the subject matter of the film. It's not about that, but we made the film with the intention of, giving one of the sort of subtle intentions was to give opportunity to honor and celebrate the badassness, I guess, of these riders. And similarly, behind the camera, wanted to support that same kind of mentality of, you know, women who are in technical roles as well as creative and producing roles are just as capable as anyone else. So the film kind of upholds that in front of the camera as well as behind the camera.
Yeah, I was going to ask about these three athletes that you portray in the film. I mean, they're. I was going to ask you what motivates them, but then, you know, they explain as we watch the film why they do it, and I sort of understand why. I mean, you're talking to someone who doesn't ride who doesn't know how to ride a bike, let alone not just getting from one place to another, but to do something such extreme with the risk of serious injury. One wonders why they would do that, even.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, I feel the same way. I don't mountain bike. I do love riding my bike, but I'm not a mountain biker. Uh-huh. Part of why I decided to really focus on the element of falling in the film is that, to me, it's almost beyond comprehension how a person can continuously subject themselves to that. When you have suffered the physical consequences, you know how brutal that side of things can be.
Yeah.
But as the film explores, there's a strong allure and a lot of reasons to feel motivated for them to keep riding and keep putting themselves at risk.
And these three athletes, they are indeed athletes because there's a lot of training involved physically and mentally.
Yeah, absolutely. So the characters in this film are three of Canada's most up-and-coming riders, but also, like, globally, they're some of the most accomplished riders out there. One of them is Miranda Miller. She's the 2017 Downhill World Champion. Antoine Lantinado is the current third-ranked globally Enduro World Series rider. And then we also have Brittany Fallon, who's not only a professional mountain biker, but also a two-time Winter Olympic medalist. So, yeah, really, really talented athletes who are not just riding recreationally, but are really focused on pushing the boundaries of both their bodies and of the sport in general.
The movie's called On Falling, and there's something instructive about losing control. And they talk about this in the movie, about sort of the feeling of weightlessness. And you do a marvelous job in terms of depicting that because, as I said, I don't ride a bicycle. I want to know, and I mean, you've got shots of one of the cyclists on a trampoline. That feeling of falling, I guess, is described as one of the best feelings in the world. It doesn't seem like that for me. I mean, it seems like they're falling, and it'll be painful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's like glass half full, glass half empty, and it depends. Mm. You know, the landing. So there's the fall itself, obviously, but we often automatically associate the idea of falling to something negative, but if you can fall and you can also recover from that and you can land, you can fall and you can land and you can, there's many different ways that falling can occur. And so I think the athletes are aware of their capacity to be thrilled by the action of being on a bicycle, which is kind of in control and out of control at the same time, knowing that there's always a possibility of it ending badly, but subjecting themselves and being open to the possibility of it ending well as well, in equal measure.
Yeah, they describe sort of that moment about seeing things in slow motion. We get a little bit of that when we see, you know, the footage of I guess whatever it is that they're wearing that we can see from their vantage point. They say even though you're going rather fast, everything seems in slow motion. I guess that's the sort of akin to the feeling that people say when they see their life flashing before their eyes, I guess, right?
I mean, possibly. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting how, it's interesting. I think anyone who's been through a traumatic fall, or even just had the fear of of traumatic fall, and maybe it didn't actually occur, has been through some variation of that experience, I think. But everyone seems to experience it a little bit differently.
Yeah. The thrill is there, though, isn't it, for them?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What did you learn about filmmaking from these three cyclists? I mean, I guess stamina will serve you in good stead. The other thing that I found a curious remark that one of the cyclists made was that a strong mind can also be a hindrance. I'm sure as a director, you probably understand that a lot better than say, a layperson watching this movie, right?
Can you explain more about what you mean exactly?
The comment from one of the cyclists I found interesting was that you need to have a strong mind. You need to have, you know, a robust mind to cycle. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, because the mind works the way it does and as quickly as it does, it can also not help.
Yeah, I mean, so, and you're asking sort of, are there translations into the filmmaker?
Yeah, but I mean, you mentioned a moment ago, these cyclists understand their capacity as athletes. I mean, I'm sure... as a director, you have all sorts of things that you want to do in a day that are probably impossible to get all done. So you understand, don't you? It is sort of working on a project like this. I mean, it is a sprint too, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's true. Filmmaking. You know, any filmmakers listening to this will understand how intense the filmmaking process is. It's always a hustle, and you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants a lot of the time. And you're, you know, especially during production, you're fully immersed and you're just sort of putting out fires and on the edge all the time. There's a huge element in making films of trying to balance kind of being mentally like strong and secure and present, and also allowing yourself to not be so sturdy from the outset in terms of your goal and vision that you don't have kind of malleability and the option to respond to, you know, the real lives of the documentary subjects who you're working with.
Yeah, a lot changes, I guess, when you're planning as opposed to when you're in the midst of the project, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, things change all the time.
Yeah. We see these three cyclists at when they're on their bike. They're obviously, you know, they're athletes. We also see them in the film at their most intimate, at their most vulnerable. There's a moment in the film where we don't actually see, but we hear in great detail them being injured. Did they themselves have a say in terms of what or how they would be depicted in the film? I mean, you must have had a discussion with them as to what you'd show and what you wouldn't show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had conversations starting out about what the intentions behind the film were, and, you know, some of the best films about mountain biking are really oriented towards the action of it. So it's a genre in and of itself that is well loved and celebrated. You can see films of all three of these athletes that have been made separately where they are coasting and just like taking on like epic feats on the trail and really showing off their physical talent, which is truly incredible. But with this film, I was more interested in getting into their psychology and trying to understand a little bit more, like from the perspective of being someone who doesn't mountain bike and who doesn't necessarily have that same access to their kind of confidence and their thrill-seeking side. I wanted to explore from my perspective or from the perspective of any audience member who might not have that so accessible within themselves. I wanted to explore that. And so, yeah, that's we had conversations about that, and they were interested. They wanted to see where that would go, and you know, the footage we have that depicts them falling is footage that was filmed by GoPro that they filmed themselves. I mean, it's because they're trained to be as competitive as possible. They're constantly filming themselves and reviewing old tape in order to fine-tune imperfections and see where something went wrong. So that's just part of their daily life, and they were happy to share some of those less perfect moments with us for the sake of the film.
What is it like to watch them watch themselves?
Watch them watch themselves fall.
Yeah.
Really uncomfortable because it's so visceral, and it's also kind of exciting and moving. So in the film, we see Miranda Miller watching tape of herself falling. And she's like a really incredible person and a really incredible example of how you can go through something that's very difficult like that, where in the moment you're just completely out of it.
Yeah.
And then even after the fact, you're going through you know, the difficulty and trauma of recovery and trying to mentally regain your confidence. So there's such a fine balance of not focusing too much on your falls and continuing to see the big picture of your joy and your adrenaline and all the good sides of why you ride. So she's like, it's just a really great example of managing that and working really hard to have like just super impressive mental fortitude and her ability to kind of recognize what she's been through, but also not let her, not let it dominate or be the sort of like the dominating note of her experience.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one cyclist who lists off all these injuries that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
When you first hear it, it's frightening. You take a minute or so and you think about it, and yeah, you think, wow, it's pretty badass to have gone through all of that. But then they're also quick to point out that it doesn't define them,
mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't define them.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't watch this movie without coming away and admiring them, not only as athletes, but as people in general. I mean, there are great lessons here. I mean, that idea of in this time of COVID, not letting an illness or an injury define you. I mean, that's important to keep in mind, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of sounding too cheesy or something like that, I do feel like there is a lot of subtle overlap between just kind of, you know, moment where we get to join these riders and see them facing off against both their physical and their internal turmoil and what we're kind of collectively going through right now with COVID. I mean, you know, several people obviously are enduring the actual illness, whereas others are kind of in this whirlpool of confusion and maybe just general displacement in terms of what their life was and what it is now and the uncertainty of what it will be in the future. And so I think, you know, kind of being open to the fact that this is what it is right now and trying to continue to be resilient and find our way and not lose hope is, yeah, maybe it's a bit cheesy, but I do feel like there's some correlation there.
For people listening to us in this part of the world, they'll be able to see this film later, won't they?
Yeah, so we're currently kind of planning our pivot. You know, we had planned the sort of traditional festival tour, you know, hopefully across, you know, globally, and then eventually going online after. We're now looking at pulling up our online release quite a bit sooner in order mm-hmm. to share it with people while they're stuck at home. So we're going to do Tribeca. We're going to consider our next move, and probably within the next couple of months, we'll have it online for people to enjoy.
Yeah, it's a film. It really is just, it's marvelously well done. It's obviously serious in terms of the message of bringing these three athletes to the fore, but it's also fun. I mean, you get to drop a lot of things in the movie, too.
Yeah, that's true. We had some fun with the cinematography.
Yeah. What's next for you after this movie? Are you working on another film now?
Yeah, I'm actually currently in the very early stages of a VR documentary. We're getting some support from the National Film Board, and it's like a 360 VR documentary about sort of, I guess, time in general, but also about geology and the way that our Earth kind of comes into itself over the span of many, many years. So it's a kind of an ambitious project that we're just getting cracked into with the National Film Board. So that's what's next for me.
Have you checked in with these three cyclists as to what they're doing in this time of isolation and quarantine, if you will?
I mean, we follow each other on Instagram, so yeah. I've been enjoying lots of posts from their kind of back alleys and street side. Andréanne is currently trying to learn how to do wheelies. Miranda's sharing a lot of sort of inspirational posts about, keeping your head up amid all this. And Brittany is actually, unfortunately, she had a really brutal ski accident not too long ago. And so she's currently in rehab for that. All three of them are kind of have interesting lives that continue. And Instagram is, the incredible way to keep in touch. Yeah. And I recommend everyone follow them if you have Instagram.
That's the incredible thing about this movie is that I have no intention after watching the film to get on a bicycle. But you understand just how in this time of COVID, how they probably desperately, urgently want to get back mm-hmm. on a bike. And the idea of falling and getting on again. I mean, that's such an important thing. And I mean, you see that in I'm sure they want to go on those trails. They want to be in competition again, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like they're, all three of the subjects are just like very, very, athletically oriented people. They're outside riding hard. If not once a day, at least once a day, if not more.
Yeah.
So, I can't imagine this is easy for them. It's not easy for anyone.
For a lot of people. What have you found useful in terms of spending your time during all of this?
I have retreated to the coast, and I'm currently living on a chunk of land, kind of camping out. So I've kind of switched my lifestyle quite dramatically. In terms of, typically living in the city and now just being out here and being in nature. So I'm taking advantage of the opportunity to just relax and go for really long forest walks alone and trying to come back into myself and get grounded again. And
do you find that you have the time to watch stuff?
Well, I don't have internet or Wi-Fi out here, so it's a little bit trickier. I have been watching a lot less. I think a lot fewer films than other people are with Netflix and chill kind of dominating our lives these days. But
it's fascinating when I talk to filmmakers. There are a lot of them when they have downtime, if you will watch everything they can possibly get their hands on, mm-hmm. and then there are some that just don't want to do anything. Or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I oscillate between those two camps. Currently, I'm not watching a lot. I'm really enjoying taking a break from being so screen-based. But life is just so much richer with the stories that are created by other filmmakers and writers and other artists. So I feel very lucky to have access to other films. And I'm sure in not too long, I'll be back in that boat watching as many as I can. So a little bit of both.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Congratulations on this movie and good luck at Tribeca.
Thanks so much, Joe.
The movie is called On Falling. Visit TribecaFilm.com for information on the movie and, of course, JosephineAnderson.ca for more. Josephine Anderson, join me on the line from the west coast of British Columbia in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.